Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Digital Flood Pirate Radio.
DJ Digital Flood? No, I'm Wheezy at the disco. Digital Flood Pirate Radio! And this week, I have my good friend Reverend Damian Baker on. Welcome.
Glad to be back after several years' absence.
Yeah, I think it was, I'm going to peg it at 05, not looking back at the previous tracks. And this is actually the first time we've been on the air at Pirate Radio in the last 10 months. So it's
Wow.
Yeah, we're finishing, this is only the second episode of the season, and yet we're starting it in November. But
you know what, it's pretty much the way the seasons are working on TV anymore anyways, too, so...
Yeah, you know, what is...
It's very non-linear.
What is the deal with that? I mean, have you seen lately, just TV in general, I've been noticing a trend where they make maybe 5 episodes at a time, and then they show, like, I don't know, 84 reruns in a row.
Yes,
and
that is the new trend.
I mean, how are they saving money? I mean, because they're not getting viewers, no one's going to be tuning in. I can only watch so many reruns of certain things. I don't know what they're thinking, but either way, I'm glad to have you back, and I'm glad to be back on the air, and I'm also very glad that everyone out there is listening again. So had a lot of positive feedback over the last few months. I don't want to say begging, but I'm going to say begging because it makes me feel better and it fills my ego. But begging for another Digital Flood Pirate Radio. So hell or high water.
There was an emptiness on the MP3 players and on the... there was just an eerie silence in the people's cars and that first drive to work in the morning, Monday morning, when they would be listening to the show.
I also think there's this vital addiction to crappy radio shows done by half-ass DJs, but, I mean, that's my personal opinion.
That's the whole appeal of this do-it-yourself era.
It is excellent. You could truly do it on your own, and, you know, we've had a lot of changes over the last few months. I've been going through some shoulder surgery, and, you know, even this evening I had my shoulder kind of crunch around there as me and Damian were catching up and getting dinner, but you know, so a lot of things have changed over time, and you've been going through a lot of changes.
I have been going through some substantial changes. Probably be one of the last times I'll go by the Reverend.
Yeah, what
that's a little more difficult to explain as I've sort of wandered away from Christianity, I guess would be the only way to explain it, and I'm sort of headed down the path of Judaism, which has shocked some people that have known me over the years, because it just seems bizarre in a way, I'm guessing.
You know, it's not, I don't know if it's bizarre, I just think that, you know, that people aren't exposed to enough people who change their religion at a later point in their young adult life. I think everyone assumes that whatever they are by the time that they're, you know, 30-something, that's what they're going to be the rest of their life, you know?
And that's a reasonable assumption with most people, but I have a restless soul. I'm not content to just stick with one thing for long. In fact, a great majority of my family is questioning how long I'm going to stay with this, but, I mean, a legitimate question, I guess, in a way, but I think this is a long-term thing. It's sort of a... encompasses my whole life, mm-hmm. from my eating to my praying to everything.
Yeah, it's less of, I mean, and I don't know how many people out there who listen are Jewish, but I know very high-level Jewish, so I'm going to speak from a very ignorant outsider standard, but from what I can see, it's not only just a religion. I mean, it really encompasses your whole life. It is a lifestyle above and beyond just a simple religion. I mean,
That was the whole appeal, and there's a whole study aspect which appeals to the nerd in me. that one of the great things you can do, and one of the things that's required of you, is to study every day, and to not just accept things as the way they are. One of the great traditions in the Jewish faith, and it's right there in the Torah, is arguing with God.
Huh.
Think back to what you know as the Old Testament, mm-hmm. and how many times can you remember in the Old Testament, even in Genesis, where Abraham argues with God, and mm-hmm. Moses argued with God? I mean, they don't even accept what God says at face value. They're negotiating. That's all a part of it. And that's the way I live my life. Just not accepting it at face value. Just saying, no, we got to go deeper.
I could tell you, for me, I'm so lazy, and at the event of revealing too much info and attracting internet stalkers, I live very close to the church that I actually practice my religion at.
That's
a Catholic church. It literally is about 300 feet from the front of my house, and I haven't been to church in about 6 months.
I'm going to tell you something here too. When I was growing up, my parish, which is no more, which closed several years ago, probably back in 99 or 2000. No, it wasn't that long ago. Several years ago. I don't even remember how long ago it was. But the parish I grew up at was two doors from my house.
Hmm. And how often did you go?
I went every week.
That's not helping me.
I
thought this was going to be like make me feel better. Now I feel even worse.
But ask me how many times I went to confession in the 20 some odd years I was Catholic. I think I went when I received it the first time, and I went before I received my first Holy Communion, and I went right before I was confirmed. So 3 times I went to confession.
I think the next time I go to confession, I'm going to have to be, albeit very honest with the priest, and say, you know, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I'm sure I've sinned, but God knows what the hell I did. So can you just give me a bunch of prayers and get this over with?
Because yeah.
I didn't write them down. I'm sorry, and I don't know. I just never can think of what I want to tell the guy, you know? And it's like, I'm almost sitting there. I'm like, you know, what am I going to... I'm a pretty boring person, so it's not like I have anything like... You know, I can't be like, oh, yeah, I murdered 2 strippers in the back room of a brothel. I can't even go there, you know? Not that I don't think the priest wants to hear that, but, I mean, you get what I'm saying. I don't... You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I took the Lord's name in vain, and I haven't been to church in a while, and... I'm lazy, and yeah.
We had those of us who were more knowledgeable, well, more knowledgeable than myself, that would go priest shopping. For confessions when we were going to do confessions. And you knew what priests were going to give you heavy penance, so to speak, that were going to require like a rosary or several rosaries for your sins. For the priest I went to who said, you could have killed like 10 people, and he would say, go say 3 Hail Marys. You'll be fine.
He was like,
you can say that on the walk home.
He was like the Walmart of Catholic priests.
Discount penance.
Discount penance. It was, he's rolling back the Hail Marys. You know?
It was a beautiful
let's roll
thing.
Back the Hail Marys. You've picked a very eclectic mix of music here that we're sitting here staring at. And, you know, this first artist that you picked, Puya, I gotta be honest, when you brought it there, I did not realize it until you had me play it. You know, a lot of times when a guest comes aboard, they say, yeah, you gotta listen to this. And Damien, you know, you did that, and you brought it here, and I've started listening, and I said, I've heard this before. I'm staring at you, and I remember back in the Ock Radio days hearing this. This is early nu metal. The Limp Bizkit Wuss garbage.
Yeah, this is going back to the mid to late 90s. I'm not exactly sure on the date on it. But I had only stumbled upon this earlier this year in a mixed CD exchange I did with several friends online. And this song was on a mix done by Justin, whose MySpace name is Torment. And he did a mix of metal and nu metal. And it was like flawless, this mix he did, and this was either his kickoff track or somewhere in the mix, but this was the one that struck me more than any other. Just first of all, just the intro itself is killer with the Latin percussion, mm-hmm. and it just gets better from there. You got to hear it to believe it.
And they're very niche in the nu metal world, because as you pointed out, they're Puerto Rican
nu metal, which makes them the only Puerto Rican nu metal band
ever.
Sing in Spanish and English, their own Spanglish mix, so to speak. And honestly, do I understand the lyrics to the song? Not in the least. But it doesn't matter. It's all about the groove to the song. It's all about the vibe. It's just insane. You're going to enjoy it.
I'd have my mother-in-law listen to it and translate it for us, but I really don't want to get smacked. So I have fears of what it's saying. So
that's probably a good strategy.
All right. Well, DJ Digital Flood, and Mary is off this week. So Damien's filling in for Mary. And he's not quite as seen as Mary, but
not in the least.
No tight girl pants. No.
You should be glad for that. I've put in about 50 pounds since the last time, so be a frightening thought.
All right, well, Digital Flood Pirate Radio with Mr. Reverend, soon not to be Reverend.
Right, indeed.
Baker. And let's get into it! Digital Flood Pirate Radio. We'll be right back.
on vacation. Economy is low in our nation. Someone tell me what the hell is this? Let me tell you something. Look, got me running through the city like a chicken with a dick off, trying to find a job and get me something down. The real nitty gritty, it's a pity, what the heck, y'all? Everywhere I go, they just turn me down. Not today is what they say, find a needle in the hay. Promises, promises, they never stop. You know it's getting hard now when you can't find a job. And a jack in the box, damn. Brother got a job that finally paid off. But 2 days later, he got laid off. Made him sick and he needed a doctor. When his wife got the bill, yeah.
can find a job.
Okay, put me on another track, man, and let me double this.
You are listening to DJ Digital Flood.
A rat done bit my sister Nell with Whitey on the moon. Her face and arms began to swell, and Whitey's on the moon. I can't pay no doctor bills, but Whitey's on the moon. 10 years from now, I'll be paying still while Whitey's on the moon. You know, the man just upped my rent last night, cause Whitey's on the moon. No hot water, no toilets, no lights, but Whitey's on the moon. I wonder why he's upping me, cause Whitey's on the moon. Well, I was already giving him 50 a week, and now Whitey's on the moon. Taxes taking my whole damn check. The junkies make me a nervous wreck. The price of food is going up. And as if all that crap wasn't enough, a rat done bit my sister Nell with Whitey on the moon. Her face and arms began to swell, and Whitey's on the moon. Was all that money I made last year for Whitey on the moon? How come I ain't got no money here? Whitey's on the moon. You know, I just about had my fill of Whitey on the moon. I think I'll send these doctor bills, air mail special. To Whitey on the moon.
A junkie walking through the twilight. I'm on my way home. I left 3 days ago, but no one seems to know I'm gone. A bad idea if I never went home again. Standing far away from me as you can and ask me why. Hang on to your rosy beads, close your eyes to watch me die. You keep saying, kick it, quit it, kick it, quit it, God, but did you ever try to turn your sick soul inside out so that the world, so that the world can watch you die?
Radio. And you noticed how I almost fubbed through that there. But and I'm back here with Reverend Baker, and we just got done listening to some very interesting tracks. We start off with Puya Bridge, followed it up with Johnny Guitar Watson, What the Hell Is This? And then a little Mr. Gil Scott Heron, Whitey on the Moon, and Home Is Where the Hatred Is. And actually, I didn't know this, and you pointed this out, actually, that album, what's the title of that album?
The title of the album that the Gil Scott Heron tracks, both of them came from, is The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, which anybody who's ever taken a black literature course like myself, even though I am whiter than most, is familiar with. Because it's somebody whose poems we took apart. But not just that. I seem to remember that Spike Lee used The Revolution Will Not Be Televised
yes.
for a Nike ad campaign, unfortunately, several years ago.
Yes, yes, yeah. And Spike Lee, of all people, to do that. I mean, I remember late 80s, early 90s, Spike Lee was pretty militant. That's a pretty big leap for him to do, that The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. To
he was
mass
trying
to market the Black Panther edicts, the African American revolution. He's Spike Lee, so I guess he's allowed to do that. But would have anyone else have gotten away with that?
No, there's not a single person on the planet that could have got away with commercializing that and be credible in any way later on. But Spike Lee,
he's allowed to do it.
He's allowed to do it. He's got the cred. He's
fine. Built a street cred. I mean,
yeah. I mean, he's done some truly awful movies over the years, but we'll forgive him for that. He can do what he needs to do.
So, Spike Lee, if you're listening, this is your chance. It's all about the Martin Luther King Jr. bobbleheads and the Teletubbies hanging out with Malcolm X. Go there.
Well, that leads us onto a whole nother path where there's some big controversy earlier this year, maybe last year, where the Martin Luther King's family hold the copyright, I guess it would be, mm-hmm. to his speeches mm-hmm. and are actively working in trying to commercialize the work of him, which is just...
It's kind of strange. I mean, I understand why they want to do it. I mean, I'm sure some of it is genuine want to immortalize his words and to mass commercialize his words to make it more universally out there. But I don't know if they really need to fill that need. And then I think that because of that, because it is out there already and so many people do study it, and it is such a well-known movement in American history worldwide, not just in America. I mean, you could go in any other country and bring up Martin Luther King Jr. They know who he is. They know who he is better than the original Martin Luther himself.
Yeah. Well, the thing with any type of commercialization of that is that it doesn't get to the heart of the message. It gets to be a very superficial reading of the message, and it's just a product. It's as bad as all those lame punks with their Che Guevara shirts that have no idea who Che Guevara was, and that he was a murderer, and that he's a communist, and all this other ridiculousness. They just know he looks cool.
In the vein of
on
that,
a t-shirt.
A friend of mine, Johnny B, he was kind enough to actually put my face on a Che Guevara shirt, and you can actually find that on digitalflood.com under the artwork gallery if you're bored. So, you know, I felt it was good for me to also be commercialized as a militant
revolutionary,
whatever.
Yeah. Orange County Republican revolutionary.
I am. I'm like, you know, I know what you're thinking. You roll up on my hood, and it used to be a cow pasture, and there's some big $500,000, 50,000 square foot McMansion sitting behind my house, but you know how I roll. I keep it real.
I can't judge you in that regard. You know I'm far to the right of you, so there's no way I can say anything with any credibility on that regard.
So, I want to tell everyone about your Halloween. You had it. I brought, you know, my two daughters. And, you know, we all went out. And I, my my you know, my ex-wife actually came with her fiance. We kind of made it like a family thing. My wife, my sister came out. We kind of went door to door Halloween, and it, you know, and did kind of a traditional Halloween. And you did very much the same thing. I found out, except something interesting happened during that.
Well, a couple of different things happened. First of all, Halloween this year was me, my better half Aaron, our friends Rudy, Jill, mm-hmm. and Aaron's two kids, Ryan and Victoria. And we went down to my neighborhood in Port Jervis, took turns taking the kids door to door, and meanwhile, two of us would stay back and answer the porch. I was dressed as a rabbi. Aaron was a nun. Rudy was a priest.
Which you're allowed to do that. Now yes. That you're becoming Jewish,
it's fine. Okay, I was a Hasidic rabbi. There was no malicious intent in my costume. Wasn't racist by any means. It was just good-natured fun. And Jill was dressed as some sort of Wiccan. I wouldn't know how to explain it. Just I guess
I was a crippled fat guy.
It works.
I did it well.
It works. It works. Well, anyway, it was Jill and my turn to take the kids down one of the neighborhood streets. And we get to a house. I said, oh, we have something for the adults, too. We're like, really? We're like, what? They go, Jell-O shots.
Jell-O shots.
Jell-O shots.
What?
Going door to door at Halloween.
What?
I unfortunately knew the people a little too well from partying with them in the past. I do not have a squeaky clean past in that regard. And so I was a little leery of taking any liquid refreshment from them. Jill had no hesitation. She said, well, can I take his shots too? So she took mine and gladly enjoyed that.
You quickly put an iPod on her ears and turned on the Grateful Dead and wished for the best, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
Jell-O shots. Jell-O shots. I mean, wow. I'm going to Port Jervis trick-or-treating next year.
Highly recommend it.
I'm going. I got an apple. One person gave me an apple because they figured adult, you'd want an apple.
That's just weak.
It is weak.
It's as bad as the old people that used to give out pennies when you'd go to their house.
Yeah, I actually one time went to an older woman's house and she handed me like a quarter. And I didn't know what to do. Like, I didn't realize people did that. I mean, you know, give me a quarter or, you know, whatever it was. I'm like, what's going on here? What am I going to, I'm going to buy gum. I appreciate it, but I have to go to at least two other, three other houses before I can even afford a cup of coffee with this. You could have just handed me over the Nutty Buddy and got to the goods here.
And honestly, no kids nowadays drink coffee. Yeah. You need to hit about 10 houses before you had enough for a freaking Red Bull.
Oh, yeah, forget it. Or a Starbucks Venti, Grande, Ucho, Pucho, whatever they are. I can't even... I love coffee. I'm a big coffee nut, and I actually spend a lot of time... There's like 80 billion cafes in Warwick. You know, it's something we have for whatever apparent reason. You want a cup of coffee in Warwick, I can, like, recommend 16 different places at any given hour. It's ridiculous. I don't know why Warwick needs so much coffee. I guess we're sleepy people. But
we have one good place to get coffee in Port Jervis. Very simple to remember name, Port Java.
Port Java.
It does not get any simpler than that. And it's, like, ridiculously good coffee, good price, and really good breakfast and lunch specials too to get along with the coffee too. So it's someplace that I go to once or twice
Port
a week
Java.
When I'm home.
I have to keep it in mind.
And last time I was there, it got a little chaotic, and they actually asked me if I wanted to help out. And it was one of my few days off from my other job where I happened to work food service sometimes,
so
and that
became...
was the last possible thing on my mind was, do I want to
say,
serve?
Did you become a barista? Like,
No, absolutely not. So
I go to two places in Warwick. There's the Carriage Path, which is only open in the morning, and that's right across the street from
where I work. I'm really encouraging the internet stalkers this episode, because they're going to really figure out where I work by this point. But but yeah, I go there, and they're a nice family, and it's $2 for a huge cup of coffee, and I don't have to speak French or Italian or German in order to order the coffee.
Always a good thing.
Yeah, and then in the afternoon, I'll usually go up to it's a cafe a la mode, I more go up there. The coffee's good, don't get me wrong, but it's also a good minute and a half walk at least to get me out of work for 3 minutes. So,
and not just that, being a townie in any place where you live,
mm-hmm.
you just got to maintain your appearances and let them know that you're still here.
Well, that's people are freaking out. I think that's why they want pirate radio. They want to know if it's real. I mean, anyone could be posting those blogs on my webpage. I mean, I could be giving it to you, and you could be claiming to be me, and I could be dead in a ditch somewhere.
Yeah, you can.
So this is my appearance.
This is your appearance. We hear virtually. Your voice. We know you exist now.
I'm not in good condition, but I do virtually exist.
Virtually, the qualifying phrase here.
Well, we're going to get back into it. What are you going to go back here? A little funk here, huh?
I guess you could say that. This is fairly early Sly and the Family Stone track. A Trip to Your Heart, probably one of the weirdest things they ever put on record. Sounds more like Frank Zappa to me, but everybody will know it as the sample that Mama Said Knock You Out was built around.
So this is LL Cool J territory here.
But
it's not, just for you kids out there, because I know you're going to be confused, this is not LL Cool J singing. It's the sample he used. He used a sample. These were real songs before he used them.
Indeed they were.
By other people.
It was on a big thing we called a record.
It was round and black, and if you hit someone with it...
Oddly, some of the members in this band were round and black also.
Oh,
so it all fits together.
Well,
I just killed that.
Well, we're going to go hide in my basement now and hope that we don't get killed. DJ Digital Flood.
Reverend Baker here.
Digital Flood Pirate Radio. Ooh, yeah.
Now back to the music.
I got a ticket for you. I know. alone. I wouldn't let it bug me at all, cause I still love you. Never see you again.
Right there. Why don't you take a look, okay? You're white.
You are listening to DJ Digital Flood.
Thank you. tattered pages of a cryptic script about a transatlantic trip to see gold and riches for the royal court. Looked east but left west from a Spanish port. Course misjudged, destination never reached. A 33-day phase found a sand on a beach. Conquest for land to go, plus a vision of a slave trade paid way for land. Claims you didn't mean a damn thing. Red man, indigenous brown man, dead man from out of the lost and found through a headwind. Came a black man, blue from a tone slap, red from a tone crack, white cause I'm ghost black. I heard the ring of alarms. There's need to be alarm when the attitude shines. Get ready for the bomb. Military supervision, flames and a curfew. That's why I got the blues.
They find it difficult to function. So what happens to a dream deferred? Does it drive like a raisin in the sun? Or feel like the sword and then run? Does it stick like round the meat? Or crust the sugar over like a serving of sweets? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load. Or does it explode?
Listen to the blues in the middle of a blaze. A quad hour geek in a bass pipe daze. A maximum pain from the scheme of the man. Knowing he's the cause but still dreaming a plan. They take measures in the streets to seize power. So they increase police power. And now the word is going around. And all the focus is on the town. But he can't grow in Oakland. So why they call it Copeland? They say B-Town is firing hot. They got big blue police. Buses parked on the spot. The space of the community. Man, that's ridiculous. They didn't have to ask twice for Roski to kick this. Second, don't you know that I will never subject to the system or the man, cause I got him in check.
A gat strapped to the back of the young black short stack. Show we carry pride, proud Nubian streetwise. A modern day African warrior for you. Told you, told ya. Boy, don't play. And if your ass out enough, just try to step in gas. Blast, last show, 10 o'clock, hilltop show. Just got my ticket, took a seat. And guess who's in front of me? Didn't know his name, neither did the brother who jumped up in his mix and tried to play him like a card trick. Pump, pump, pump. Shots to the chest, puddles of blood surround a kid with the dime press. Trying his best to hold on while life pours out by the pounds. Aborted baby lies on the ground. And I can still hear the cries of a mother in pain, a child she lose. That's why I got the blues.
DJ Digital Flood.
Reverend Baker here as well.
Digital Flood Pirate Radio. And as Noel... That boom,
just rewind it.
And as always, you can find us online at digitalflood.com. That's digitalflood.com. And you can download Pirate Radio shows. You can look at our artwork. You can look at my original albums, and I haven't released one in a long time. And
you have time. Get to work.
Yeah, the arms are starting to work again. But so yeah, I should get back to work. And you can get into a lot of things. You can comment. You can do anything you want to do. You can even, well, you know,
threaten our lives for previous comments. But that's part of the fun.
That's part of the fun, the joy of the internet, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, you don't have to actually find us to call us names and threaten to kill us. You can now do it virtually.
It's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. And we started off with Sly and the Family Stone, Trip to Your Heart. Not Mama Said Knock You Out, though it sounds a hell of a lot like it.
It's from 1968, I want to say. Probably their first album, the name of which escapes me right now. Fantastic album. Not a bad track on it, but that's my favorite because I'm a big fan of music that's just a little off kilter, and that definitely fits that description. After that, we heard jazz trumpeter Donald Byrd with Fallen Like Dominoes, just a great sort of laid-back track.
Mm-hmm.
And then something that I can guarantee nobody in this audience...
Who are these guys?
...audience ever heard.
What's the deal with this? Where did this come from?
This came from my parents.
What?
They took a trip to San Francisco in 98. And they went into a record store and said, what's the hottest local band you have out here at the moment? We want to bring something back for our son who wants to hear something different, something. And they go, oh, what's he into? You know, a little bit of everything. I was just starting to get my teeth into jazz, mm-hmm. and I always liked the old school rap. And, well, we kind of have this that's a combination of both jazz and funk and another sort of laid-back track with a killer trumpet part and just an amazing rap in it. It's Not the Blues.
Not the Blues? By who?
The Mofessionals.
I've never heard of them. And like
and
said,
you will never hear of them again.
Are they just poof?
They're poof. They're gone.
They just didn't do anything.
There is a popular British music site by the name of Last.fm where you can stream mm-hmm. a lot of music on it. And you can go on and see how many plays various artists have had mm-hmm. for their tracks. The Mofessionals have had all of 36 plays the last time I checked when I loaded this track into the playlist.
Last.fm's been around for like 5 years, too.
That's plenty of time to build up more plays than 36.
Yeah, it was well after 1998 they were found.
I'm wondering who the other 35 people are.
If you could find them, you might be scared.
I probably would be.
You might be scared. So that was an interesting and eclectic mix, and you know, we're still here, and we're still doing what we're going to do. So even though MWeezy / MC Mary at the Discotheque, whatever she's going by this week, is not here this week, and hopefully we'll be able to get her back on this season. She's actually really busy with college right now. She's trying to go to school to become a registered nurse, an RN.
That is an insanely time-consuming and intense.
Yeah, she's doing some sort of research paper on... I'm not making this up. It was like gonorrhea. I'm not even making this up. I know I say some off-kilter jokes and me making MWeezy doing a paper on gonorrhea. Oh, it's funny. She really is doing one. It's great.
I don't even want to contemplate this
great.
Paper, let alone imagine what the research entails.
What do you write about it? I mean, you know, I hope she doesn't have to scrape anything off anyone. That's all I hope. But in the vein and in honor of my sister Mary, I felt it was important to keep the structure of Digital Flood Pirate Radio intact, specifically what she usually does, which mostly involves screaming at me. And you haven't done that yet, but...
I just don't have it in me. An employee of mine said to me today, Damien, you never get mad. You just stay low-key, you stay even. But when you do get mad, it's hilarious.
Well,
and I couldn't argue with it, to be honest with you.
There's something I need you to do for me, then. I need you to do the scene clip of the week, which usually is an obscure track, but you brought an obscure track this week, even more obscure than the rest of all these other obscure people. So if you'll excuse me for a moment, I have to do the introduction. Scene clip of the week!
Lovely. All right, our scene clip of the week this week is something from a Beach Boy. And you're thinking in your head, a Beach Boy? What the hell is wrong with you? How is that the scene clip of the week?
Yeah.
It gets a little deeper than that. This is Dennis Wilson.
Not Brian.
Not Brian.
Not the Nelson twins.
No. This is the rough brother of the Wilson brothers. This is the one who hung out with the Manson family.
What?
Yes. And ended up giving up his house to them because they just took it over at one point. He was like, no, I can't live here anymore.
Well, I mean, if the Manson family moves into my house and all... In all reality, if the Manson family were not incarcerated right now and they were roaming around, they moved into my house, I think I would leave too.
Yeah, he had the right idea. But anyway, he, starting in the mid-60s, started to do some tracks on each of the Beach Boys albums, mm-hmm. a couple here and there. And his voice, sort of gruff compared to Brian or Carl's, who had sort of the squeaky, clean, smooth, perfect voices. He put out a solo album in the late 70s. Pacific Coast Highway, I believe, was the name of the album. It's just an incredible thing. It was just reissued in 2008. And along with it, they issued a bonus CD, which was going to be his second solo album by the name of Bamboo.
But he didn't get to do that album.
He didn't get to do that album. That remained unfinished. The tracks were pretty much finished, but the album was never officially released until it was put out along with this reissue of the first album. This track comes off of that. It's Constant Companion, and the only thing to say, it's you've never heard anything like this.
And see, again, you kids out there, when an artist died, and Dennis died, Dennis Wilson died.
He is a Beach Boy, and he died by drowning. Some type of cruel irony in that.
Yes. And I don't know if he was surfing. He certainly was at the beach because he was in the water, and he drowned. And, I mean, back when he died, I don't know the exact year he died. I don't know.
Point in the early 80s. Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, it was... But even at that point, when an artist died in the 80s, the 70s, the 60s, going all the way back, they didn't dig out every half-undone track and redid it. It wasn't like Michael Jackson, where they went back. Or Kurt Cobain.
Oh, no, let's even go worse than that. Tupac.
Tupac. Tupac's still making songs. I mean...
Yeah, how many albums has he put out after death?
He's been dead for 10 years. He's put out more albums. Him and Biggie have put out more albums dead than they did when they were alive. It's crazy, but... Now they're releasing this album because that's what they do. They find dead artist songs locked away in their attic and re-release them as new music. Because people like to hear what these guys were doing, no matter how good or bad it is. But this is good.
I played this for somebody once, and what they said to me was, I could have pictured, like, Peter Gabriel doing this track and not Dennis Wilson. Just got to hear it to believe it. This is Dennis Wilson with Constant Companion.
On the scene clip of the week, Digital Flood Pirate Radio, DJ Digital Flood,
and the late Reverend Baker, so to speak.
But he didn't drown. Digital Flood Pirate Radio.
All the colors you imagine shining in my eyes. Most of you now, you know, the funky chicken and the dancing, the funky, and it's called the funky melon, you know, all that funky black eyed pea. When I was a kid, funky didn't have nothing to do with music. See, funky was just plain funky. See, funky was grandma's bloomers and grandpa's long drawers. With the nicotine stain in the back. Where he had sneezed and got snuff in him. That was funky.
She did the freak with me.
Never missing a beat, yeah. Boy, was in need, yeah.
The girl's a freak. The girl never misses a beat, yeah, yeah.
It didn't twerk, no.
It wasn't fucking no more.
Round and round she's the freak of my desire. And when she dances, she set the world on fire. The little girl's the freak of the week. When she dances, she gives me happy feet. Freak of my desire. When she dances, she set the world on fire.
but she was not just knee deep. She was totally deep when she did the freak with me. Yeah.
Flood.
Yeah, he, yeah, he. This court is now in session. His Honor, Judge Pigmeat Mark and Poseidon. Yeah, he, yeah, he. The court of swings is just about ready to do that thing. I don't want no tears. I don't want no lies. Above all, I don't want no alibis. This judge is hip, and that ain't all. He'll give you time if you're big or small. Fall in line or this coat is neat. Peace, brother.
Lord, here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. Everybody know that he is the judge.
Everybody, near and far, I'm going to Paris to stop this war. All those cats got to listen to me, because I am the judge and you can plainly see. I want a big round table when I get there. I won't sit down to Wonder Square. I'm gonna lay down the law that better not budge. I'll bust some head because I am the judge.
He is the judge. He is the judge. Everybody knows that he is the judge. Who's there?
Eyes.
Eyes who?
Eyes your next door neighbor. Courtroom.
Judge, your honorship high, sir. Did I hear you say order in the court?
Yes, I said order.
Well, I'll take two cans of beer, please. Yeah.
He is the judge. He is the judge. Everybody know that he is the judge.
I had a chat with Ho Chi Minh. Sip rice wine and chase him with gin. Won't take long, that's a miss my guess. I have you out of this doggone mess.
Sir, don't you remember me?
No, who are you, boy?
Well, I'm the fella that introduced you to your wife.
To my wife?
Yeah.
Life, you son of a gun, you. Come November election time, you vote your way and I vote mine. Case is a tie and the money gets spent. Vote for Pigmeat, not for President. I am the judge. I am the judge. Everybody knows that I am the judge. I am the judge. I am the judge. Now, everybody know I am the judge.
DJ Digital Flood.
And Reverend Baker here.
Digital Flood Pirate Radio coming back at you. We started off with the scene clip of the week.
Dennis Wilson's Constant Companion from the album Pacific Ocean Blue, the second bonus disc. I misremembered the title of the album, as I am prone to doing.
That's all right. I don't even remember what I'm doing. Digital Flood for sure. And then we went into some Red Fox. I like Red Fox. I miss him.
Yeah. I mean, he died doing that last show of his,
mm-hmm.
taking a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
which she always threatened to do on Sanford and Son.
There's
not an episode that would go by that he didn't.
It's the big one. It's the big one.
And of course, I don't know if you did the Orange County music club scene back in the mid to late 90s and ever saw Perfect Thyroid.
Yes, I did.
And
yes, New Paul's is finest.
Yeah, and they played in Middletown a lot too. And they did always did a 20-minute version of the theme from Sanford and Son. And the highlight of that was the one member would yell out, "It's the big one, Elizabeth.
It's the big one, Elizabeth."
That was the highlight of their show. Sadly, they are no more.
They are no more.
That whole ska revival seemed to go where it belongs, to the dustbin of history.
If anyone out there is into ska, look up Perfect Thyroid. They were a great band. They were a great band. They had a 3-5 year run. I remember, you know, at least when I was in school, you know, from 96 all the way through, you know, 01, they were very popular. They were a big college band.
They were, and it's good for what it is.
Yeah.
But it's just a very
it's kind of tongue in cheek.
Yeah. But the genre as a whole is sort of just too narrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? After you record 5-6 albums, what are you going to do?
Any decent ska band that you can think of
moved
away up from it at some point. You got Madness in the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. How long did they start to they stop doing that after a few albums? No doubt.
Yep. Op Ivy.
There we go.
Went on to Rancid and then went on to whatever. Just poof.
It's, yeah, you can't do it.
No, it's you can't sustain it. And, Red Fox, like I said, I think he was a great comedian. I really enjoyed his stuff. So, Red, if you're out there listening, we miss you. But thanks for the comedy.
Exactly. After that, we heard Funkadelic with Not Just Knee Deep, Part 1, an edit of it. The track itself is 15 minutes long. I couldn't subject anyone to 15 minutes of George Clinton. It's not for the uninitiated.
I gotta tell you, every time I hear a George Clinton track, I can't help it. I can't help but think of Snoop Dogg. Again, it's that sampling. I mean, the West Coast rap scene, especially the gangsta rap scene of the 90s, really raped and pillaged funk music, and specifically the Funkadelic. I'm sure they got some sort of commission for it, but I just find it amazing that the Funkadelic itself was almost more popular as the background of samples of Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg songs than they were during the 70s itself.
Yeah, in a way, yes. The track we heard, oddly, is most famous as being the sample for an East Coast rap track, De La Soul's Me, Myself, and I.
There you go.
So, I mean, of course, it's probably the rare East Coast track that sampled it. But still,
it's all still out there.
We all have those dusty copies of 3 Feet High and Rising somewhere. Mine's not so dusty, unfortunately.
You're listening to it very, very frequently then.
Yeah, it's still in the CD player in the car. That's how I realized I should probably throw this into this tonight.
And then we finished up with Pig Meat Markham. I have no idea who that is.
He was a comedian. People older than us would know who this person is. I honestly have no idea. But this was one of those catchphrases in the late 60s and early 70s. Here comes the judge. And
yeah,
this is
where
it all started.
You heard it. Again, going back to the revolution will not be televised. Here comes the judge. I hear it all the time. And it's just...
This is where it came from.
It's like you're digging up folklore here and showing us the roots of some modern phrases.
I'm a great black historian in a way, I guess.
Yeah, you know, you should go full time for it. We're going to have to get you like a Brother Damien website or something.
There we go.
I don't know.
Don't let my lack of melanin inhibit my future career.
It didn't stop Mariah Carey.
That's true.
All right, and we're going to get back into it, as I like to say, and continue along.
I Want to Hit You Pretty Hard with something. This is something from Philly International back in the 70s. Not sure if this is a Gamble and Huff track. Everybody knows the Philly International scene and the Gamble and Huff thing. I'm not sure. Oh, actually, yeah. This is one they produced. I realized because I got it off their box set. Yeah. Good call. This is MFSB with a cover of Sly and the Family Stone's Family Affair that is faster and harder than Sly and the Family Stone's version by far, and it just works on so many levels.
We're going to kick it up a funkadelic notch on the Pirate Radio. DJ Digital Flood.
Reverend Baker.
Digital Flood Pirate Radio.
Thank you. I am the angel of death. The time of purification is at hand.
DJ Digital Flood.
Hey, homeboy, how come everywhere you go, you have to go in a limousine, man?
Hey, man, that's my thing.
I know it's your thing, man. That's helping. Every time I see you off for clean, you got your rings. Jerry on, you know, you
flashing cash is what I need.
I can understand. Ooh, I got the baddest cool, could never be the fool. The ladies wait to get down with me. The love I make superb, to doubt me is absurd. The latest and the greatest, you see. Ooh, I want to have your spot, and more than what you got, I bought the baddest house I could find. All it must be said, I'm greatest in the bed. And when I love a lady, she's mine. I know I'm really hot, my diamonds shine a lot. Check out this here 450 SE, baby. I'm what it's all about.
Constitute and this oath. Ooh, kiss.
DJ Digital Flood.
Reverend Baker here. I almost forgot who I was for a second.
Everyone has to do that at least once.
I know. Damn it, who am I?
Every time I've had, I have not had one guest where, and we almost got there. People, we almost got there.
We got to the last segment.
We got to the last segment, and every time I did it, you had it on cue.
Yeah, it's, let's see. I worked professionally in 97, so yeah, it's a while ago. Yeah, so I'm pretty much out of it.
You're trying to get. Well, you know, that's pretty good. You got 12 tracks into it before you missed the cue, but that's okay.
When I did it professionally, I'd get to like 3 a.m. and then I'd start conking out.
For sure.
I got in trouble for misreading the sponsor's name too many times.
So we started off with MFSB with Family Affair.
And Marvin Gaye followed it up.
Mr. Marvin Gaye.
With Ego Trippin' Out. A great track in a way, still as timely today. Talking about all the bling. Just the materialism and how ridiculous it is in a way. As much as he wanted to be a part of it too as well.
Yeah, he's an interesting character, and in a lot of ways, he went before his time, and he never kind of got to do everything he wanted to do. But I just noticed lately, it seems like he's becoming this highly recognized, highly cited artist in the African American community, even more than just like funk or soul. He's really looked. He did some really revolutionary things back in the 60s and 70s,
and right up until his death in the early 80s. I mean, his whole story is sad in a way. Here's a man that just went from just great wealth and fame, and just as his marriage collapsed in the late 70s, and he put out an album that was just sort of like a diatribe against his ex-wife, you know. He was moved in back with his parents at the end of his life. Was shot to death by his own father.
Yeah. Completely fell apart.
Someday his story will make an incredible movie.
I'm surprised they haven't. I'm surprised someone hasn't latched on to it. I mean,
they've done Biggie already, and they haven't done Marvin Gaye.
They haven't done Marvin Gaye, and he's got a bigger, more vibrant, broader discography that spans the ages, and is highly cited today. You know, among many artists of many races, colors, creeds, and different genres, and it's just amazing. Like you said, I mean, you've seen Johnny Cash, who's an incredible artist in his own right, but he was barely cold, and they were doing a movie on him. Biggie, you know, once they figured out how they were going to get the financing, and his mom was sure she was going to get paid through the wazoo for it, you know, it was right out the door. But you know, you haven't seen one about Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, what's taking you folks so long? Get on this.
Maybe we need to get on this.
Sure.
We make the Marvin Gaye movie. We could have Groucho the Cat star as Marvin Gaye. He won't say much.
Do you know what? It could work.
It could. I think on so many levels.
You could play at the film festival up in Woodstock.
Yeah, the Woodstock.
They would understand.
They would. Especially if we bring them by the Trick or Treat Jello Shot House first. I'm sure you don't have to just show up on Halloween and say Trick or Treat and they hand you a Jello Shot.
I can speak from experience. You just need to show up at this house and they will hand you a Jello Shot. It's pretty much in the fridge.
That's some friendly folk. I like that. You can't get that anywhere else. Well, it is. We have come to another end of another episode, and another return of Pirate Radio. Every couple of months I have a return of Pirate Radio, and here we are returning again. I would like to thank you for coming out. You filled in, you stepped up, and
I'm glad to be here. It's always a pleasure. I have a great time. I have fun digging through the archives to see what I can bring out.
You definitely threw me for a loop this time. This is some obscure stuff. So I hope you listeners out there enjoyed this as much as I did, because this is some truly obscure stuff that's going to take a lot of effort to mix properly.
And I want the audience to be using the steering wheel as a percussion instrument, as yes. it has meant to be used.
Yes, absolutely. And bang along.
If you are not, I failed.
Yeah,
and that's the bottom line.
If you don't set off the airbag listening to this, we did something wrong.
I know. Tell us what we did wrong.
Yeah, you've got tons of ways to contact us. And be sure, speaking of ways to contact us, be sure to get over to digitalflood.com, which you most likely did if you're listening to this, and hit us up with some comments on the episode. You can comment up in there. You can send us emails. You can get me through IM if you look on the beyonddigitalflood.com, more digitalflood.com links. You can hit me up on Facebook, on Twitter, on MySpace, on YourSpace, on TheirSpace, on LinkedIn. There's 50,000 ways you can communicate with us. So let us know what you want to hear. Let us know who you want to have back. I can usually egg them on and get them back. And
I can be reached at ReverendDGBaker@gmail.com. Very simple to remember. Hurl any insults that way. Let me know.
I'd be interested to see. So, you know, email Reverend Baker, the soon not to be Reverend Baker.
We'll have to change that.
We haven't come up with a title yet. I was thinking Mensch Baker.
Yeah, we'll negotiate.
We'll have to negotiate.
We'll negotiate. It's part of the path.
Yes, we'll figure this out. But I'm going to be very excited, and I'm sure. You know, you're gonna come back soon enough, and because I'm definitely gonna to bug you somewhere down the road, somewhere between season 5 and 6 to get you back in here so we can get an update on this and figure out a title.
Figure out if I've been cut.
Cut. Oh yes. Oh yes. In case you don't know, in case you
haven't been hiding somewhere.
Yeah, you know, even if you are an adult now that. If you're Jewish and you're born a Jew and you're going to stay in the faith, and you're male, circumcision is required. But if you're an adult, circumcision may not be the best option because it doesn't always heal as easily. So,
well, it's not just that. It's in the cases where most of the males in this country have already been circumcised already.
On top of it,
in the case of that.
See, even if you've already been circumcised, you don't get out with it because you haven't fulfilled the covenant, as Damien pointed
out. That's right.
I mean, you can explain this.
You have to have the blood drawn.
You have to have the blood drawn.
It's part of the covenant.
From the member.
It's a way you know you've been.
You haven't been circumcised by a rabbi, so you haven't had blood drawn by a rabbi.
It's just a horrible, horrible thing.
It's just one little road bump there. So we definitely want to know where we are on that.
Yes.
I feel for you. Remember, I can't even walk across the street to go to church. So
oh, that's right. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for coming again. And thank you for listening out there, you viewers. Be sure to hit up digitalflood.com. Be sure to tune in when we come back. And I think that's it.
I'm going to sort of wind things down with a classic from Herbie Hancock.
Excellent.
From the album Albert Rotunda, album commissioned by Bill Cosby,
of
all people.
Doubled. Excellent.
Probably one of the best albums to come out of a TV show in a regard, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a laid-back instrumental, just a great track from a great album. It's Tell Me a Bedtime Story.
So we're going to finish up with Herbie Hancock, and we will return like that general who ended up coming back to that beach and that war that was of a world's and stuff. DJ Digital Flood
and Reverend Baker,
Digital Flood Pirate Radio. We's out.